first kiss your face and flutter everywhere. Reality is a lovely place, but I wouldn't want to live there. I wouldn't want to live there.
This is Puck Protection, written by Basil and the Blues, and read by Vorzandopod. This is an AU where the Pittsburgh Penguins turn into actual penguins, based on the amazing drawings by Ninja Omelette. After a morning spent buried in headache-inducing paperwork, the phone call was almost a relief. "Hey, Mike," Mario said when he answered, glancing at the clock and leaning back in his office chair. The team was probably about to start afternoon practice. "What can I do for you?" There was a long pause, long enough that Mario pulled the phone away from his ear to make sure the call hadn't disconnected. "Hello?" he said again, frowning. "Mike?"
I think you better come down to South Point,"
Mike Johnson said. His voice was very flat.
"Soon. Now."
Mario felt a sudden lurch of dread. What happened? Given the season they'd been having, he'd developed more experience than he wanted with the sharp, unflinching way Johnston delivered bad news. This was something different. Something worse. Johnston sounded strangled, and that was enough. Mario was already on his feet and out of his office, walking fast. He hadn't even reached the front door when he heard a sudden, distant clamor on the other end of the line. Johnston swore.
"Just get down here,"
he said, and the line went dead. Mario called him 5 times on the drive down to South Point, but he got voicemail every time. He tried the assistant coaches next, with no more success. Then Sid. No answer. By the time he finally made it through the doors of the Isoplex, Mario was torn between fear and righteous fury. If someone had been injured or, God forbid, killed, Johnston would have told him to come to the hospital. If some devastating scandal was about to break, Mario could do the most good at home, making calls and cooperating with their media team. And whatever had happened, no matter how bad it was, why the hell couldn't he get a hold of anyone who would actually talk to him about it? The arena seemed deserted. The first person Mario saw was Johnston himself, standing near the bench with no one else in sight. He was talking, but no sooner had Mario gotten within hearing distance than his voice was drowned out by a chorus of loud, indignant squalling that echoed off the high ceiling over the ring. It sounded more animal than human. Mario's fear and righteous fury hadn't vanished, but for the moment, they'd been supplanted by something closer to total bafflement. "Oh, good," Johnston said when he looked up and saw Mario approaching. "I can't convince them that practice is canceled. They won't leave the bench." The bench was very obviously empty. Mario was deciding if he should call 911 straight away, or if it would be better to try and find someone else in the building who could tell him if his head coach had recently suffered a traumatic head injury, when a small, sleek penguin nudged the bench door open and waddled out onto the ice. Mario stared. And blinked. And stared. The penguin stubbornly continued to be a penguin. It slid a few feet across the ice, then popped back up to look at Mario with beady black eyes. "If this is a joke," Mario said, "if you called me out here in the middle of the day for some kind of media prank, I swear to God." A second penguin, taller and bulkier than the first, popped out onto the ice. Then a third. First line? Johnston was looking down at the first penguin, as if he actually expected it to respond. And it squawked in what might have been an affirmative way, if penguins could make affirmative noises, which, Mario reminded himself, they couldn't, because they were penguins. The first penguin waddled up to Mario and nudged his thigh very gently. "I think that's Sid," Johnston said, in the toneless voice of a man who had resigned himself to the worst that life could offer. The rest of them listened to him, mostly. Mario was sure he hadn't wanted to know, but the rest of them? The penguin who couldn't possibly be Sidney, because professional hockey players did not spontaneously turn into flightless birds, made a trilling noise. And a veritable stream of penguins spilled out onto the ice from the bench. At the exact same moment, Gary Agnew appeared, his suit rumpled, cradling what looked like a ball of fluffy gray lint. "I found Bo," he announced triumphantly. "He was hiding in Gino's shoe in the locker room." The penguin who wasn't Sydney burst into a flurry of movement, flapping his small wings and squawking. "All right, just a minute," Gary said, kneeling down on the ice. The ball of lint resolved itself into a very small penguin chick, and not Sydney immediately began to fuss over it. He was joined by a taller, skinnier penguin, who crowded next to him so that the chick was tucked between them. Mario wasn't going to say it. He wasn't. The entire situation was ridiculous, and he refused to buy into it for even a second. Sydney snuggled into the taller penguin's side. "That one's Gino," Mario said, and rubbed the bridge of his nose. He could feel the stress headache settling in to stay. "And we have a game on Wednesday." In retrospect, he would have preferred the paperwork.